a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
As Stroud, little play action to start. Good protection. Airs it out for Collins. He's got it. One play, touchdown, Texans.
So that is how you successfully pull off a coup on January 6th. You don't have a drunk guy wearing a bison hat storm the gates. You throw a bomb to Nico Collins on the first play of the game. It's like driving a tank. It's like flying a stealth bomber. That is how you take the AFC South by storm. Put some big coconuts on the table and just say, bleep it! We'll do it live! And your Houston Texans, after a 23-19 win over the Indianapolis Colts on Saturday, are the champions of the AFC South. What an incredible turnaround from where this team was last year to where we are right now. Talking about a team that isn't just in the playoffs, that also found their way to being the champions of the division because the Jacksonville Jaguars, frauds that they are, blew it again. Shout out to the Tennessee Titans. Shout out to Amy Adams Strunk for helping us out yesterday. It's a great day. And if you want to jump aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, you can all show long. That's what we're going to be talking about. Who gives a damn about the national championship in college football, right? It's a bunch of Yankees. These carpetbaggers coming down here playing a game. There's no SEC. There's no Big 12. Who effing cares? We're talking Texans only today. Oh, Paul, I go to the flagship for that. Well, we're the fun show. I'm still a little drunk from yesterday because I've been drinking all weekend. I've been drinking ever since they took that one down, baby. Went out last night and on Saturday night in my Texans starter jacket looking like the coolest MF-er in town. Hell yeah. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Sean, you pumped like me?
I'm not sure if I'm pumped like you, but
we need
I
to get
am
you pumped up.
Yeah, I am pumped. No, I'm saying I'm pumped. I just don't know if I'm at your level.
We got to get you there.
48 hours after the game, but
it has been 48 hours, and you got to keep that same level, baby. We got a show to do.
I guess that yes, it still is Victory Monday.
Yeah, Monday after a Victory Sunday.
Rockets beat the Bucks.
That's true. Shout out to them.
We will not talk about you today, but the Rockets did beat the Bucks.
Shout out to them. But again, it's only Texans today, baby. We're like drunk Texans radio. The Texans and the Texans play here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A lot of Clay Walker. Oh, man, I'm already starting to sweat. I've got the vapors. And again, you want to jump in, 713-780-3776. The turnaround, incredible. And look, the Texans have done impressive turnarounds before. Take a look at Bill O'Brien's first year in 2014. They go from being 2-14 the year before to 9-7, despite having Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Mallett. There was a Case Keenum start. I want to say T.J. Yates even got to play in that season. This is a lot better of a turnaround, though, because that year's team still had some holdovers from those 2011-2012 teams. Like, right, there's still J.J. Watt. There was still Andre Johnson. Like, that was a very good team. DeAndre Hopkins was still there. Arian Foster was still there. This team did it with a lot less, I guess, names that you would recognize. And it really goes to show you just how awesome DeMeco Ryans has been. I mean, think about Saturday night. Obviously, Nico Collins, who had nearly 200 yards receiving, was the biggest star of the game. But the Texans had to cobble together an offense with three of their top four receivers out. No Tank Dell. No Noah Brown. No Robert Woods.
And it really was Stroud just throwing to Nico Collins all game long. And on the defensive side of things, Jonathan Greenard's banged up. Bunch of Texans defenders were walking around, limping around in the middle of that game. And yeah, it's Gardner Minshew that they were going up against, but they held the Colts to just one third down conversion, and they got that stop on fourth down when it mattered most. Now, obviously, Tyler Goodson, poor kid, dropped that pass. We'll play audio of his post-game interview a little bit later. I truly feel bad for him. I wish that it was somebody that we don't like on the Colts that had that happen. I'm trying to think of who would have qualified with this iteration of the Indianapolis Colts.
T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton.
He subs in for one play and drops the
ball. That would have been great if it was T.Y. Hilton who effed it up. We were like, finally, we got one on T.Y. Hilton.
Although if T.Y. hadn't played the entire game, like, it wouldn't have come down to the last play.
Yeah, that's probably true. T.Y. Hilton would have had 300 yards receiving, let's be honest, if he went up against the Texans in that one. But they were able to do it with a team that is not the team that turned it around from 2013 to 2014 under Bill O'Brien. So I don't know if DeMeco Ryans is going to win Coach of the Year. I think I'd still give it to Kevin Stefanski. And then we got to talk about Nico Collins, who I mentioned a moment ago, almost had 200 yards receiving. I mean, I was blown away by that performance on Saturday night. He's put up some impressive statistical performances in three or four games this year where he's had 150-plus. But in this game, I mean, you had 10 pounds to Nico Collins on Saturday night and told me that he was a tight end, I'd believe you. He was running people over. He was running by people on that first play of the game, the shot play that the Texans drew up, that screen pass that set up the Texans' second touchdown. Throw to the left. He ran over a couple of Colts defenders. It looked like that highlight of Rob Gronkowski running through Colts defenders a couple of years ago. Then the drive where the Texans score the eventual game-winning touchdown, he makes an incredible catch on the right sideline. I'm not sure how the hell C.J. Stroud got that ball off. Backpedaling, throws it to his right, diving catch by the sideline. And then a diving catch over the middle of the field while he was getting effing horse-collared. Holy smokes, what a catch that one was. Devin Singletary scores. Kyahi Fairbairn misses the extra point minutes after I tweeted that Kyahi Fairbairn is automatic. It got a little bit tense at the end. But Nico Collins, he earned a second contract somewhere. I sure hope it's with the Houston Texans. And I can't believe, of all the guys this year, we talk about the change from last year to this, Collins is the one that has made the biggest leap forward, and it's not even close.
Yes, to borrow a phrase from the 2021 Houston Astros playoff run, pay the man.
Right.
Pay this man. Now, they didn't pay the man that we were talking about back then, but that's the Astros. The Astros don't pay anybody.
No, right, that's true.
But pay this man. Pay Nico Collins. I think that we can officially say this offseason, getting a wide receiver one, not the biggest need.
Not the biggest need.
I think.
What a pleasant surprise, Sean.
I think Nico Collins can be that guy.
A pleasant surprise. Right.
They need a little more depth because that's about all they had Saturday night. But
you definitely need to probably add somebody else, but you hope
you don't need a one.
Back.
You don't need a one. You don't need to trade draft picks or whatever. You don't need to throw a bunch of money at T. Higgins or Mike Evans. You got Nico Collins.
By the way, What would the Houston Texans draft pick be this season and today? Oh, that's right. The Cardinals 23rd? Have the 23rd pick if the season were to end today.
But they're only getting the Browns pick.
Right. So the Browns pick, like, it's literally the next pick as things currently stand? Oh, so all the crying that you guys did about the Texans beating the Colts a year ago was for naught? Oh, okay. But, hey, I told you, just like I told you the Texans would be 10-7 this season. But I'm not here to gloat and pat my back.
Hey, I'm just saying, if they would have given up a different pick in the Will Anderson trade, they would be now the Browns can pick ahead. No, the Cardinals can pick ahead of them.
Yeah. You know?
They can take their guy.
They can get their guy.
Whatever offensive lineman's getting drafted 23rd overall.
Right, some mediocre offensive lineman probably. Hey.
Actually, I think like an awesome wide receiver has gone number 23 like the last
every single
three.
Year. Oh, that's
I mean, I don't actually think every single year, but that's normally when the like Justin Jeffersons get picked, the JSNs for Seattle. So we'll see. You know, that's what we're here to talk about, the NFL draft.
Right.
What are we
Not
what
about
are we
the Texans winning the AFC South and being in the playoffs.
Asset
and playing,
management.
And getting back to our traditional spot of 3:30 on a Saturday, baby. Monday Night Football on Saturday. Yeah.
I saw somewhere that they've literally played that game every single year that they've made the playoffs.
They have. Every single
time.
At
this point, I feel good about the direction of the franchise with CJ
I feel better
Stroud.
If they're playing the Bengals, to be honest, but yes, I feel pretty damn good about the Saturday slate in the direction of the franchise.
Long term, I don't care how many times the Texans make the playoffs. I think every year that they play on Wild Card Weekend, they have to play that first game.
This is our new Thanksgiving tradition, right?
Yes.
We get to play the Saturday 4:30 game, bitch. And on top of that, when we're talking about these Saturday games, guess who didn't end up with the game that's only on Peacock? Houston Texans! Houston Texans on a roll.
On free TV.
Going to the Super Bowl. Right, we're on free TV, baby. Saturday night primetime. Just whipping that thing out and showing it to the world. That's right, guys. It is a happy day here. And if you're from Seattle and remember me at 7:10, guess what? We have a different vibe now. We're not talking about that stupid game. Who cares about the national championship? Your Texans are AFC South champs. You want to weigh in on it, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. One texter says, Paul is on one today. I'm on one every day because today is the greatest day of your life, much like yesterday, much like tomorrow. Another texter asks if I did chugging with Dylan Mulvaney. I don't know what I drank. I just drank what was offered to me, you know, hanging out with some Michigan folks yesterday. It's fantastic, guys. Paul Gallant Show, up next. We talked about the Texans and what they did on Saturday. I cannot wait to revel in the pain that is being felt in Jacksonville today because they blew it. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of Old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes Old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm Old Greg.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Bill, obviously, it wasn't the prettiest of games.
Doesn't matter, Brian.
But
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
AFC South champions. Not back-to-back years this time around, but it might be back-to-back years next year. Vibes are high here in Houston after they won Saturday, 23-19, over the Indianapolis Colts to clinch a playoff berth, and then they got a little bit of help from the Jacksonville Jaguars today. I love that moment in Houston Texans history because I think every Texans fan knows that. Doesn't matter, Brian. AFC South champions. Just something you can pull out of your card whenever you want to have a fond memory. And it's funny because it's probably the least liked person in Houston, Texans history that's delivering that line.
Because it's so perfect about what the Bill O'Brien era was, hey, we have some criticism about, doesn't matter, went 9-7 and beat Blaine Gabbert for the division. So above criticism, we cannot talk about this team.
We're on to the playoffs, baby. I think that was during 2016.
That sounds about right.
Bill O'Brien's juxtaposition of publicly facing the media, acting like he wasn't angry about the team, and specifically Brock Osweiler, and therefore getting angry at the media,
yes,
while privately being angry about the quarterback situation to the point where he and Brock Osweiler nearly got in a fight in the last game of the year where Osweiler came back in, is really funny.
Yes.
Being
like, I am going to absolutely ream out everyone on the team, but you cannot say that it was an ugly game because it doesn't matter. We're champs. Now, after I walk away from this podium, I will then yell at them saying, it does matter how bad we played. But to you, Brian T. Smith, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's so funny.
Again, AFC South champs. And that's like literally the only thing, I mean, never mind. It's literally the only thing he ever did. So the only thing any coach has ever done.
Win a couple of divisions,
for this
baby.
Franchise.
Yeah.
Win the division.
Win a couple of divisions. Yeah, it's really low bar to clear for this to be the greatest team in Houston Texans history. Couldn't it be the greatest
win
team in Houston
Texans
history?
Win two playoff games.
Right. 713-780-3776. Right now, is this the greatest Houston Texans team in history? We're throwing hack topics out there left and right, baby. Let's
How will NRG Stadium handle having to add another division south? AFC South division banner.
Where are they
because they
add
are
it?
Now perfectly spread out to where it looks like they've won a lot, but they're all, if you look closely, it's just all division championships. Will they have to rearrange them? Will they make one big banner and have all the years on it?
It's a good question, Sean. I'm curious too. I do know this. I know that the Indianapolis Colts will be adding a AFC South runner up to the runner up.
Played for a chance to maybe we would have won if we would have won a game.
Yeah, so they came in third place, runner up to the runner up of the AFC South because the Jaguars have the tiebreaker on them because they beat them twice. The same Jacksonville Jaguars who, man, what a choke job yesterday against the Titans. They had Trevor Lawrence threw two interceptions. One wasn't his fault; it bounced off of a Jags receiver. A Titan caught it. But he also did an audible at the one-yard line to a quarterback sneak, and he stretched out. I've never seen a quarterback just be short while reaching across for the touchdown. And, like, he was just clearly short. So I guess he just couldn't figure out how far he had to go ahead or reach the ball forward. But, I mean, completely short there. So that's one of many mistakes by the Jaguars, who could not tackle the Titans. Derrick Henry, I think, had 18 for 150 or so. And it has me feeling great because it was not that long ago where the Jacksonville Jaguars were 8-3, had just beaten the Texans because Matt Amendola's attempt at a tie at the end of regulation at NRG Stadium in November hit the front crossbar. So it bounces off the front crossbar. And you're thinking to yourself, man, it's going to be really hard for the Texans to make up ground and win the division. And just like your Houston Astros, who somehow fell ass backwards into winning the American League West, despite a disastrous September, your Houston Texans, despite a loss to the Jets, and despite a loss to the Browns, though Case Keenum was under center, they find their way to winning the AFC South. And it means we get to laugh at Jacksonville Jaguars fans. They exist. There was this person by the name of at UCF Jaguars who put out this real hardo video after the Jaguars beat the Houston Texans for a refresher. Here he is, being all high and mighty about his 8-3 Jags.
Texans fans, I tried to tell you guys, the Jaguars run the AFC South, okay? This is our division. Trevor Lawrence is better than CJ Stroud. Better luck in 2024. Have fun competing with Indianapolis for second in the AFC South. Duval!
They were competing for second in the AFC South on Saturday night, in his defense. This man, after yesterday's Jaguars loss, had a slightly different tone. And get this, he congratulated the city of Houston.
All right, Texas fans, I talked a lot of so I am here to eat crow. You guys win the AFC South. You guys absolutely deserve it. You guys were the better team down the stretch. You guys had the better quarterback down the stretch. The Jaguars straight up choked. So you guys deserve all the victory lapping, and I have to eat crow. So well done. You guys earned it. Good luck in the playoffs.
I don't accept his congratulation. I don't accept it. We shouldn't accept that congratulations. No, I want him to get on his knees and kiss the ring. You know, that was, it was like, oh, I'm going to eat some crow. I'm eating crow. No, actually eat a crow. How about that? Eat a crow. Eat a murder of crows. That's a group of crows. They're a murder.
I do like that the most predictable thing that we talked about on Friday's show happened in regards to Titans. Could be one last ride for Vrabel. Could be one last ride for Derrick Henry. most likely is one last ride for Ryan Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe these old dogs still got one more trick left in them.
And they did.
And it's like, also, they're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are perfectly equipped to face plant. Boom.
It's beautiful. Because to get back to here, with all the ass-kissing that Trevor Lawrence got for a playoff game where he threw four interceptions in, like, the first quarter because they came back and won, and then they played well against the Chiefs. I'm so glad we're done with the national media pretending like the Jaguars are anything special. They're middle-of-the-road football team. And no one wants to see any more of them because Trevor Lawrence is good. He's not great. He's good. And in that game, did he seem special to you? And once again, goes back to how everybody whines about draft positioning at the end of a year. Everyone thought Lawrence was going to be the greatest quarterback ever. How's that working for Jacksonville? How's that going to work for the Bears when they take Caleb Williams first overall? Sometimes you just stumble into the right guy. It is all luck, and you got lucky because you got C.J. Stroud. So how about that, guys?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now in the offseason, who's going to get their ass kissed?
Yeah.
That's right.
Should be us. Should be us.
Get those cheeks ready, Houston.
Pucker up, baby. Pucker up, national media. Yeah. It's time to recognize that, Houston, we don't have a problem. We have C.J. Stroud, who's a problem for you. What?
So we do have a problem?
I think. But our problem
Houston,
for everyone else.
Houston, we have a problem.
Houston, we have a problem for you. Should we add the dot, dot, dot?
No,
for you?
I think it's the NFL is saying, Houston, we have a problem. It's your quarterback because he keeps kicking our ass.
You are a problem.
Yeah, there we go.
Hell yeah. We nailed it.
Big problem.
Only took us a couple to get there.
Throw a couple snort emojis in there.
Yeah,
we got
definitely.
An Instagram caption.
We got a couple of texts here that seem to want us to go down the road of like really hacky Houston Texans topics. Someone's asking, will the roof be open or is it broke for Saturday's 3:30 playoff game? Great question.
That should be the first question for D'Amico Ryan's press conference.
I would love that. That would be great.
Coach, got a question.
Sir, will the roof be open?
Mr. President.
Another person asked, hey, you could talk about MJ versus LeBron, or is this Texans team on the Mount Rushmore of Houston Texans teams? Yes, it's definitely on the Mount Rushmore. Definitely on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, what? It's 2011.
2011, 2012, the Letterman jackets kind of makes it where they shouldn't be there. And then
this team.
I think since the 2019-2020 team did have a 24-7 lead over the Chiefs at one point. So they have to be on it over the team the year before that won the 9 games in a row but got blown out by the Colts in the first round. Like, having a 24-7 lead and beating the Bills, that means that team's in there, 2019, and this year's team, yes. So we already got it.
Boom.
Mount Rushmore.
I was really worried for a second that we're going to have to throw in, like, the 0-2 team because they're the first one. They're the George Washington of this. But no, we got to four teams that made the playoffs.
We did. We got more than that.
Four teams that made the playoffs that we could be proud of.
Yeah.
2016, not considered.
AFC South champions.
Doesn't matter,
Sean, Ryan. They've made the playoffs 7 times, and they've been AFC South champs all 7 times. How about that?
That is wild. The Houston Texans have literally never been a wild card team.
We don't do no wild cards like y'all marks. We win the division.
That's one of those stats where it's like, that could be a good thing or a really bad thing.
Well, it's partly a reflection of just the AFC South, which could have had multiple teams in the playoffs and totally face-planted against just one.
The 7 times that the Houston Texans have won 9 or more games, they've won the division.
Yeah. That's how we roll, baby. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. If you want to jump aboard, you can all show long. Someone texted in, now if Houston beats Cleveland, they advance and get a better draft pick. Hell yeah. That's what Nick Caseri was thinking all along. That Patriots mindset.
5D chess right
5D
there.
Chess. And this idea that Caserio is leaving is crazy. The people that I was curious on Friday who actually reported that when we were at East River 9, I didn't think there was much stock in it. It was Jason LaCanfora. How did the Washington Post hire legitimately someone who has practically zero news-breaking credibility? Like, LaCanfora loves to post rumors, and I thought the Washington Post was supposed to be a paper of prestige, and you know, facts. Now, a lot of people would argue otherwise about them in the New York Times these days, but I thought that that was supposed to be like the good paper. Interesting. Some other people are commenting. CJ's Freshwater Jellyfish comments, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Paul, why aren't you going sober like you did when you cursed the Astros? Exactly. You answered your own question there. That was a mistake, and it was a mistake that I made not to help the Astros out. I went sober in October because I had a rough day in Las Vegas. That's what happened. I had a rough day in Las Vegas. You know? Didn't know what happened for about 2 hours. Just went blank. Someone else on the comments section. Paul sounds like he was on the booger sugar. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I've got high energy because I'm drinking a lot of coffee.
Is that Mucinex?
Mucinex, yeah. Like the Mucinex guy.
Or the thing you squeeze up the, like the little...
Oh, like the saline...
Yeah,
the
decongestant.
Yeah, there were a lot of commercials for that during the Saturday game. Like that thing you put in your nose, it's a machine and it sucks out all the goo. You can write that as a drop if you want. Football time in Houston, baby. Are you ready to play? It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call and to text. Up next, we go around the league. We talk about how the rest of the NFL playoffs look and about all the coaches that have been fired to this point. My Lord and Savior's father, seated at the right hand of the father, Bill Belichick, still the head coach of the New England Patriots, which makes me happy as well. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Look at these Christmas decorations.
She got me this little mug with a little red truck hauling a Christmas tree.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston, C.J. Stroud, right after taking down the Indianapolis Colts, his first primetime interview, and he got emotional.
I can't do nothing but just thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man. I'm sorry. I put a lot of work in. My team has everybody counting us out from the start, so, man, it's just special to see the city of Houston just on the come up again, and I'm just blessed enough to be the vessel that Christ picked to lead this great franchise, so I can do nothing but just thank the Lord.
He thanked the Lord a lot. ESPN actually, in the video that they posted, cut out several of those, still was able to get three in. CJ Stroud, thanks to God, the vessel that's brought Houston back. Houston's now on the come up. Thank you, God.
Yeah.
I'm thanking God.
Hey, thank you, God.
Don't laugh.
No, I'm just saying, CJ, it was the Texans that really needed to be on the come up. Like, the city of Houston was doing all right.
Doing pretty well.
Yeah, it was doing all right. Like,
about to host a national championship tonight.
Yeah, Final Four that no one cared about. Like, I don't know. God worked miracles with the Texans. I think that was the real fixer-upper that happened. Houston as a whole, mostly fine. Mostly the same.
We did have the 21-plus days of 100 degrees plus this year. So we were pretty sweaty going into football season.
Where's CJ Stroud on that? Come on.
Could have fixed that. Come on. Yeah. Geostorm that bitch. Anyway. Good point, Sean.
Houston's on the come up.
Houston
all right.
is
all
on
right,
the come
dude.
Up.
All right, dude.
But it is on the
He's
come
not
up.
Mayor.
It is. Maybe he could be right now.
He could be.
It's not like we had really popular candidates running. It was like Sheila Jackson Lee was one of the candidates. Think yeah. Stroud couldn't defeat her.
And who's the Whitmire?
John Whitmire, yeah. Whoever would My God. I'm so glad the election stuff is done. I kept on getting texts like saying like this person's the most liberal of all time. And I'm like, are they? I don't know.
I don't know.
Is everyone liberal?
Again, that's like you're just like, I don't know. I have some liberals you should meet in Seattle.
Right. I was like, you guys don't know what liberal is.
Capital L.
And welcome to my Seattle friends that are here. But sorry, I am wearing a Washington State shirt today, and I am rooting for Michigan. Because just like my beloved New England Patriots and my beloved Houston Astros, Michigan goes the extra mile. What does that mean? You know what it means. They go the extra mile, and I like that. I like that.
No stone left unturned.
None. So, Sean Mapes, the playoffs set in stone. The Texans, a 4 seed, a home game, Saturday, 3:30 at NRG Stadium. Group open, closed? We don't know. But they will host the Cleveland Browns, who, of course, beat them a couple of weeks ago, 36-22. The game was not that close. It was not even close to being that close. Browns got a great defense. Joe Flacco's playing well. They're going to have to figure out a way to stop Amari Cooper. We'll talk more about that game over the course of the rest of the week. But since the Buffalo Bills beat the Miami Dolphins in Sunday Night Football, they are the 2 seed in the AFC. They will host the Pittsburgh Steelers, who clinched a playoff spot after the Jaguars lost, which is very interesting because the Steelers tweeted out a picture of Jaguars players disrespecting the terrible towel. Since they disrespected the terrible towel, many have argued that's what started the Jaguars' collapse, at least in Pittsburgh. And somebody actually put together an article where there have been 3 moments in history where teams who have disrespected the Steelers' terrible towel have come to grisly, disappointing ends not long later. Like, there's 2 other examples of that. I was surprised to see it, Sean. So
yeah, I'm going to be careful next time around a terrible towel.
I am not disrespecting a terrible towel ever.
You're disrespecting the franchise.
Yeah, because the Patriots own that ass, but I will never disrespect a terrible towel.
Okay.
Never once. Speaking of the Steelers, TJ Watt has a grade 3 MCL sprain. This was a weird weekend. A couple of guys that did not need to play got hurt. We saw Sam Laporta carted off as the Lions, who were trying to get the 2 seed, were playing in their game. Looks like Laporta's done for the playoffs. Best case scenario. We'll see if it's an actual torn ACL. Also, Jalen Hurts popped his middle finger out in a blowout loss against the Giants. Giants kicked their ass. So the Cowboys get the 2 seed in the NFC. They're going to host Jordan Love in Green Bay. That's a very favorable first-round matchup for the Cowboys. The Lions are the 3 seed. The Bucks won the NFC South. They will play the Eagles. And honestly, I think there's a chance that the Bucks, like with Tom Brady, beat the Eagles again, because Jalen Hurts is probably going to look the same way that he looked in that game against the Bucks a couple of years ago. Like, if his middle finger popped out in his throwing hand, that's probably not good.
Yeah, and like the Eagles are trying in their
game.
Yeah,
like they got smoked.
They're down 24-0 at halftime, and they were like, again, the starters were in. Like I'm not ready to say it's over for the Eagles. Because they might win, they might beat the Bucks. They can still beat the Bucks, but going to a Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, not seeing it, Phil.
I don't see it either.
Not seeing it.
I don't see it. So I would say of all the teams in the playoffs right now, the teams that I think have the best chance to win a Super Bowl, number one, Ravens are playing well. Number two, got to put the 49ers up there.
Yeah, the 1 seeds.
I think the Bills are red hot. I don't know if Sean McDermott used Hamas to get the guys ready to go in Sunday Night Football, but whatever he said before the game, it worked. Bills are scary, and yeah, I'll put the Cowboys up there. I think those are the 4 legitimate Super Bowl contenders, and obviously it sounds a little hacky because they're the top 4 seeds, but hey, they are. Especially if the Lions lost Sam Laporta. That's a huge loss. Kansas City looks pretty fraudulent right now, and as you mentioned, Sean, the Eagles look like a shell of themselves.
Yeah, I'm not quite ready on the Chiefs just because it's like
Mahomes,
and with Miami coming to town, I saw Nick Wright already tweeting out the weather for Saturday.
They're
at the Saturday game. It's going to be 0 degrees in Kansas City from now.
That is awful.
So, yeah, good luck to Tyreek playing in 0 degree weather.
That's miserable.
I don't think they're gonna like beat the Ravens, but I would just throw them up there as like, hey, I'm not throwing you in the, you know, no chance pile. Also, Houston Texans. What? Sounds like it's wide open.
Man, I wish that they had Tank Dell so badly right now. If they had Tank Dell, I might go full pander and say, F it. Predict them to win the whole damn thing. It's Black Monday. Thinking about these guys' families today. Head coaches fired across the NFL. Arthur Smith got fired by the Falcons.
Not thinking of his family.
Bijan had a big game, though.
He did.
He did have a big game. So
he was the entire offense.
He was. Probably should have been the entire offense all season long, along with Drake London and the other guy, the tight end. What's his name? forget what his name
Kyle
is.
Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts, former Gator. I forgot his name because the Falcons have just
made him irrelevant. Right? I saw a report on Sunday morning, which I love when this report always comes out, that, you know, the owner's still torn on whether he could whether he's going to fire the coach, but a meaningless. But a win on Sunday could, like, swing thing in Arthur Smith's favor, and then he goes out and loses 48-17. Just like, that doesn't seem good.
Nope, didn't help. Also, at the end of the game, Smith got into it with Saints head coach Dennis Allen, who legitimately was not trying to run up the score. Guess who did try to run up the score? Our friend Jameis Winston. Hell yeah, Jameis.
Let's go.
He gets back out there. They called a run to Jamal Williams. Were they trying to get him a bonus or something like that? It was weird. They're like, we respect Jamal Williams, and we wanted to give him this touchdown. And Williams apparently was like, yeah, I don't want it. But Jameis just went Jameis mode and said, no, we're giving you the handoff.
We're not kneeling.
So Jameis Winston almost caused a coach-on-coach fight with a man who would be fired hours later. Like, insult to injury.
Soon to be unemployed. Also, somehow Dennis Allen is the one that who is coming back for sure.
This is like this is, as far as crimes Jameis has committed, we're not going to talk about the Uber. This is like the time he stole the crab legs. It's funny. It's funny. Ron Rivera fired. Washington has the second overall pick. There's buzz about them trying to get Bill Belichick. The Panthers fired Scott Fitterer. Man, rough way to end the year where the Bears have your number one overall pick.
Tough one to wear as a GM.
That is
basically the opposite of the Will Anderson trade.
Yeah, exactly that. The other coach is already fired. Frank Reich, Josh McDaniels, and Brandon Staley. Bill Belichick had one last press conference, and it was as beautiful as always. Lots of snorts, grunts, awkward pauses. He said he would be open to taking a less all-him role, that he was flexible to it. But right now, Bill Belichick is still the head coach of the New England Patriots, even after yesterday's just terrible way to end that streak of wins against the Jets. The Jets kicked their ass. I was pretty sad at the end. I'm not going to lie. Like C.J. Stroud in that post-game interview, I was tearing up a little bit at the end of that one, because that might have been it for Bill Belichick.
Not thanking God.
I'm very thankful for her every single...
You're thankful for the last 20 years.
But every single second of it, I am thankful for.
But
it.
Not week 18.
I'm not thankful for week 18, no. That was pretty brutal. The weather was terrible. Bailey Zappe threw an interception. The Jets fumble it, and the very next play, Bailey Zappe threw another interception. And they were both just terrible interceptions.
Yeah, I think I saw the second one. That was, like,
so bad.
No hope.
There's no one on the screen that was wearing Patriots colors. Oh, boy. Also, there's a rumor that Jim Harbaugh might return to the NFL. He's very coy about that. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. We're going to be talking about your division champion Houston Texans all show long. If you have a national championship thought, you can squeeze it in. I did like that Jim Harbaugh talked about the Houston Texans. You will hear what Jim Harbaugh had to say next. And who deserves the most credit for the totality of the 2023 to 2024 AFC South Houston Texans? We'll discuss next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya Kane Powder.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Your Houston Texans are AFC South champs, largely thanks to Nico Collins, who was incredible from the first play on, the best player on the field in Indy Saturday night. Jonathan Taylor, a close second. We'll talk about Taylor being off the field for that 4th-and-1 a little bit later, because he was banged up. But the Texans are the talk of Houston right now. And, you know, a lot of people would think that Jim Harbaugh and his Michigan Wolverines would be focusing on Michael Penix and the Washington Huskies. Not so fast, my friend, because Jim Harbaugh had this to say about Nico should have been a Pro Bowl. Collins.
It was fun to watch. I think he had 9 targets, 9 receptions, ton of yards, 2 touchdowns. You know, it was just great. I mean, just go back and think about the, you know, the time when he was in high school, visiting him at school. I mean, reporting as a freshman, how hard he worked to put himself in that position. You know, just warms the cockles of the heart. And then going to see him standing at the podium after the game in the letter jacket. I mean, that was really cool. So it's great. Keep doing you, Nico. It's working.
Warms the cockles of the heart. I don't know what that means. Per dictionary.com, it means to cause a feeling of affectionate happiness. Why is it the cockles, though? Why is it cockles of the heart? Why is it cockles? Jim Harbaugh, never change. Would have been funny if he said, really, Nico, when he came to Michigan, he started drinking his milk. And that's why he grew up to be such a big, strong man. And it would make sense because he is basically like a tight end out there. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text. And you can join on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Someone asked if I have any thoughts on Tiger Woods parting ways with Nike. That is official. It's a 27-year partnership. And Sean, it's because of something that we had in the bag, but I guess we got to share it now. So Tiger Woods has agreed to be a regular guest on the Paul Gallant Show. In studio here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, because we needed something to counter Aaron Rodgers' programming on the Pat McAfee Show.
Yeah, and so just two guys that have both mastered golf to equal amounts.
Exactly. I've mastered golf, unlike John Granato. Tiger Woods has mastered golf. So he's going to come on, but we told him we had a stipulation. Because everyone wants to be on the Paul Gallant Show. So there was a stipulation, and we told him that he had to drop those woke hypocrite frauds over at Nike. Because Nike, very woke, except for when it comes to child labor. So we told Tiger, like, you have to do that. And once you're unburdened from that, we can hear all of your takes on which Perkins has the best waitresses. Like, once we get past that red tape, you know, of being muzzled by Nike's woke agenda.
Yeah, and you can sign with another apparel company like Under Armour, Adidas, who I'm sure are doing things totally different than Nike.
Whatever warms his cockles.
I'm sure they're totally different. I'm sure Champion and Starter are way different than Nike.
Right.
Callaway, now that's a company that does things right.
It that's true.
Ping.
So
saying you have options, Eldrick.
But he's gonna wear the Paul Gallant Show logo on his hat. That's what's happening. No, you're laughing. This is happening. 11 o'clock tomorrow. Tune in. Tiger Woods in studio. When have I ever lied to you or been sarcastic? That's never happened. So now you guys know our secret, but we people were asking. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
Really warms the cockles of my heart.
Oh, my cockles are so warmed right now. You know who's been warming the cockles of Houston as well this past year? Texans owner Cal McNair, but also his wife, Hannah McNair, who I do think is a big part of the Texans noticing that they needed to stop doing the same thing over and over again. And how about Hannah finding a way to get a little spotlight on national TV? So you hear this really quickly. This is a little clip. Hannah's running by the ESPN camera. And she stops for a moment, throws up the H's again, before going on her very merry way.
We spoke all pregame long.
That's Hannah McNair in the background, throwing up the H's. And then she's running down the tunnel of Lucas Oil Field. And our guy, Big Sarge, was recording her as she's running around. And I've never been more jealous of another Houston media member, but Hannah went in for the hug with Big Sarge. Here's how that sounded.
I can't stop crying.
Gotta say, I like Sarge's media laugh a lot better than other media laughs out there. It feels authentic. It's warm. And Hannah hugged him there.
And I've never been more jealous. But, you know, we're talking about credit. C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, God, Nick Caserio. But truly, Hannah McNair has been a huge part of the turnaround over the past calendar year. And it was funny seeing Cal McNair on ESPN with a big smug smile on his face. And good for him. He has been killed a lot. I think Cal's a good dude. You know, he was put in a pretty impossible place by the people he hired. And I think they've done a very good job of cleaning up the mess. But I think a big push for the starting of the cleaning up the mess was Hannah McNair. And everyone in Houston now has warmed cockles thanks to the AFC South champion Houston Texans. Oh, it's such a great day, isn't it? You got warm cockles, Sean?
So warm.
What is a cockle, though? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what in God's name is a cockle? I'm sorry I'm focusing on that Jim Harbaugh little tidbit.
Not surprising that's what you're focusing on.
Well, hey, you know, a cockle is an edible burrowing bivalve mollusk with a strong ribbed shell. Or it's a small, shallow boat. What does this have to do with the heart?
It's also another word of the ventricles in the heart.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
Alluding to the shape. Because they're kind of shaped like snails, I guess.
Because they're mollusks.
Yes.
And now you know the rest of the story.
And so that's the part on Sunday night where Jim Harbaugh probably at the JW Marriott here in town, watching in his hotel room, Nico Collins basically be the only receiver C.J. Stroud couldn't throw to in this game. And he was sitting there. And his cockles were so warm.
By the way,
had to turn up the AC because his cockles were so warm.
We got really warm cockles here. I got warm cockles right now. I'm sweating right now in my Texan starter jacket. Got my red sunglasses on. I can barely see what I'm talking about on our show rundown. We got Sean Mabes behind the glass. You want to jump in on this celebratory day with our warm cockles on the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776. That's how you call. That's how you text. So, the Browns are next. Vibe check. Where you at? And have you ever felt bad for your arch rival? Because I actually feel bad for one Indianapolis Colt. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dracula Flow.
These cops are interrogating me about an ounce of weed as if I didn't kill an Applebee's hostess 2 miles away.